Thank you, Tim. Take a copy of God's Word this morning. Turn to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And this morning we're going to talk to you about an overcoming attitude. An overcoming attitude. This links what we preached on last Sunday to what we're going to finish this series up on Behold, He Comes next Sunday as we finish off the month of July. And we have been highlighting future events, just giving some thoughts, different thoughts as it concerns prophetic things. And remember, I talked to you about the fact the purpose of prophecy is not to build a calendar, it's to build Christian character. And we've looked at the idea of the last days, where from the birth of Christ to the second coming of Christ is what we call the last days. We don't know when He's coming. We're just living by faith and occupying till He comes, looking forward to that blessed hope when we can see Him someday. And we look through the timeline. We've hit different areas, the church age, the rapture, the tribulation. We've hit those areas and talked thoughts about that as we've gone on. I finished next Sunday with the idea of eternity, where all things are made new and paradise is restored. Looking forward to that message next Sunday. But what I want to talk to you this morning about, because of the severity and the negative of what we looked at last Sunday, there was a positive amidst of that negative, because we can overcome that final judgment through Christ. So we're going to talk to you about this morning an overcoming attitude, an attitude that we need each and every day as believers and what we are through Christ. So you found your place here in Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to look at one verse this morning, and we're going to break this verse down. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Three good thoughts here contained in this one truth, this one verse that I want to share with you as it concerns overcoming. Let's pray together, and we'll get into our message. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your word. We want to thank You for this thought of overcoming. Thank You for the fact that we've overcome through Christ. And Lord, each and every day, Lord, help us to be challenged to overcome through Him each and every day. And help us look at this thought as we look at this, Lord. We ask for Your blessing. I pray You'd speak to hearts. I pray You convict where it needs to be convicted. In Christ's name, amen. Before I go further, I want to thank our online audience for watching as well. I forgot to mention you guys. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope this is a blessing to you as well. In the past week, I observed something that made me smile. On Tuesday morning, I was heading to the office, and I stopped by Hardee's to get a biscuit. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, you're Baptist, okay. And I noticed some older men out tailgating out in the parking lot over at Hardee's, out in the grass area. Friday morning, I went back to get the same biscuit because it was so good Tuesday, I want to come back Friday. Somebody say amen there. Amen. Made me smile. I saw him again doing the same exact thing, and the thought hit me while I was sitting in the drive-thru. It hit me. I said, you know what? These guys are typically regular customers every morning over at Hardee's inside. They're retired. They like the fellowship. They like the time spent with one another. And because of COVID, they could not meet inside anymore. So they got inventive. They overcame. They had an overcoming attitude and said, you know what? We're just going to go get drive-through, pull our lawn chairs up, spread out, and just have a good old time tailgating out in Hardee's parking lot. That made me smile. You know why? Because they're not allowing an attitude of criticism and complaining and things like that to overcome them. They just made it work. I like that. And that is an illustration of the thought I want to give you all this morning. I want to use it to balance what I preached last week, because we're all overcomers if we're in Christ. The Bible tells us, but We must understand that each and every day we must have an overcoming attitude. We cannot allow these circumstances and the problems of our life to overcome us. We must overcome them through Christ. So I'm going to talk about that idea this morning, that thought, because 2020 has brought many challenges. COVID-19, the March, the April shutdown, the economy trying to bounce back from that, the shortage of necessities, the civil unrest, and the amplification that comes with it through social media. If we plug into it long enough, we'll drive ourselves crazy. If we're not careful, we're overcome with negativity. We're overcome with anxiety. We're overcome with fear. We're overcome with depression. We're overcome with uncertainty. I could go on. And we have to work each and every day and yield to the Spirit, because if we're not careful, our minds will tend to flip over there. Couple that, the circumstances around us, couple that with the problems that each and every one of us has to deal on a personal level every day. Sometimes we're conflicted with ourselves. Sometimes it's our own sin and the consequences of that sin if we're not careful. Sometimes it's just situations and circumstances out of our control that we've got to deal with. We must face these things. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. As we looked at a few weeks ago, it's not going to be perfect till the Son of Man comes and rules and reigns. But until that day, He's in your heart if He saved you. And we have to live each and every day with our focus on Him and our focus on that blessed hope. It's all about our attitude, and it's all about our focus in the midst of those circumstances that determines our reaction. And it can be a witness and a blessing to others. This attitude is known as an overcoming attitude. As Christians who have overcome through Christ, we must strive to have an overcoming attitude. An attitude as we as believers, we've got to adjust and maintain when faced with the negatives of either sin, circumstances, maybe change, things out of our control. So my question to you this morning, have you overcome? And if you've overcome, are you overcoming? Let's explain this morning. One of my favorite words in all of Scripture is the word overcome, overcomer. The Lord desires us to be overcomers. We've been in a series highlighting these prophetic events as the Bible details it. And before we finish it, I'm using this to link it to last Sunday to next Sunday. The Apostle John uses this word overcome. The word overcome, the Apostle John uses it more than anybody else, a total of 19 times. He uses the word overcome once in the Gospel of John, and he uses it 6 times in 1 John, and in Revelation he uses it 12 times. The word overcome, the original word is nikeo. We get the word Nike from this word. I mentioned the word Nike, we think what? Shoes. Athletic gear. And they named their company based upon the Greek goddess of victory, Nike, Nikeo, who overcame, who and the swoosh, the very swoosh of Nike is the swoosh of Nike's wings. And the biblical definition took that word and made it overcome. The word means this, Nikeo, Nike. It means to prevail, to win one's cause, to be victorious in different or difficult circumstances in the midst of or over in through the circumstances that are illegitimately holding you hostage. And what's very interesting to me is the Greek goddess of victory in Greek mythology, Nike, she had wings and she carried a crown called Stephanos. And the Bible takes all that imagery because it would know what they were talking about. And we talked about 5 crowns for faithful Christians as Stephanos, those crowns that we'll have someday for serving Him. Notice what John says. In 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Look at this. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Notice this. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Notice also what John says in 1 John 2:13-14. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. These verses tell me that Jesus has overcome. His death on the cross overcame Satan. His burial, resurrection overcame death and hell and the grave. He has overcome. There's victory in Christ, as we sung this morning. But also notice this. John also says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 17, all the way to seven churches in Revelation, and later on in chapter 21, verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear to him that overcomes. This brings up the question. Putting these passages together as John presents it, it puts up this question. Why does John tell us in his gospel and in his epistle that a believer in Christ has overcome? Then he comes back in Revelation and tells us the whole theme of Revelation is that we need to overcome. Well, here's the answer. When John says you have overcome, he's dealing with your legal status. Jesus Christ made every believer an overcomer legally. You're as sure as heaven if you died right now. When John says you need to overcome, he's dealing with the truth that what you have legally may not be what you're experiencing personally. For example, a couple could be legally married, but they may not be happily married. Every marriage has rough patches that they have to overcome. And every marriage can testify, it's been together for a long time, can testify by the grace of God they've overcome some rough patches. However, the rough patches don't change the fact that you're married, that you're still married. For example, you may be legally your father's son or daughter, and nothing will change that, but sometimes there's rough patches in the relationship, but nothing's going to change the fact that they're your father, they're your son and daughter. If you're a defeated Christian this morning, that doesn't make you not a Christian. It just makes you a defeated Christian. In like manner, you may know Christ as your Savior. And nothing's going to change that, but you're not experiencing victory each and every day. Because some sin or some circumstance that should not hold you hostage is holding you hostage. And you must overcome it. Whatever is illegitimate in your life, a sin, a circumstance, a situation out of our control, God wants you to overrule it, overcome it, and not let it overrule or overcome you on an ongoing basis. God wants you to experience overcoming. Sometimes God even allows negative circumstances to come your way. Look at the book of Job. In order to give you the experience of being an overcomer. The circumstance might not go away, but your attitude and your reaction to that circumstance can either hinder your witness and your effectiveness in your spiritual growth. So the Bible is clear this morning. If you are an overcomer, if you are to be an overcomer, a link must be established between your position in Christ and your practice in your everyday life. Understand the key to being an overcomer. You've got to begin to look at Jesus differently. You must identify yourself with him in everything. Everything you need is found in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Everything you need is found in Jesus Christ. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing up here telling you that this morning. Think about this. I heard this illustration. Think about this. The other night, when the kids got to bed, I wanted to wind down with a good milkshake from Cookout. Now, if you haven't been to Cookout yet and got yourself a milkshake since they've been open up, you're missing the double blessing of God. I'm just telling you that right now. I don't know why I'm talking about food so much this morning. But you know what? I went over there the other night, got the kids to bed, and a thunderstorm comes up, right? And it is pouring rain. And I'm looking outside, but nothing is going to stop me from getting my Cookout milkshake. Nothing. What is the one thing that I need not to get soaking wet between my door and my van? An umbrella. Right? I can choose to use the umbrella. The umbrella, I can choose to use it, or I can choose just to walk around with it in my hand. All right? Christ is that umbrella. Everything you need's in Him. If you've trusted in Him, you have the umbrella. But how many times do we go to Him? How many times we need Him in everyday life, but the rains are pouring down, the storms are pouring down on us, and we need to use what Christ has given us. That's the idea of overcoming. How can we be an overcomer daily? We have to experience the same victory we have in Christ in our everyday life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, my text this morning, tells us how we can be an overcomer. Notice, first of all, there in verse 11, that first statement of this verse, and they overcame Him. How can we overcome Him? Well, who are they talking about? Who have they overcome? Satan. Because in the text, in the context of the passage, it talks about Satan being cast down from heaven. And it says they overcame him. Verse 10 tells that he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us. He brings up our past sins. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night. He uses the flesh and the world to try and defeat us. Because if Satan cannot prevent you from being saved, he at least wants to steal the joy in your life that comes from walking in fellowship with God. This verse in the context is a parenthesis to let us know that believers, both men and women, were not defeated by Satan. Those whom Satan continually accused before God had the secret of victory. Now remember, John wrote this in a time period where there was intense persecution in the Roman Empire. Domitian was the Roman emperor. It was intense persecution because they were made to worship him as God. And it says, we will acknowledge you as our earthly authority, but only Jesus is God. And for that, they gave their lives. Intense persecution going on. And for that, John is on the Isle of Patmos by himself, lonely, and Christ has given him the book of Revelation. So remember that when he's writing this, that's the context of what's going on. And in like manner, there's a lot going on out there today, man. There's a lot of circumstances that are threatening to overcome us each and every day. We've got to look up. We have to have an overcoming attitude. And that comes, and the perfect picture of Satan accusing us before God, by the way, is there in Zechariah, when Joshua was standing before God, before Christ, and Satan's accusing him, and he's got a garment of filthy rags, and he clothes him with a robe of righteousness, and man, that's what Christ does for us. Thankful for the cross. So let's look at this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at number one this morning. Number one, how do they overcome him? First of all, the blood of the Lamb we overcome, number one, by the power of His blood. We overcome by the power of His blood. The blood of the Lamb. That blood of the Lamb, that's an expression for the sacrificial death and full atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He suffered, He bled, He died for sinners. Because of our sin, because of our great debt to God, a debt that we could not pay. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. We live under the curse. We sin. We're broken. There's none righteous, not one. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There must be a sacrifice for sin. That's why Christ came to earth. He lived among us. He lived a perfect life. Without sin, He laid His life down on the cross with His precious blood covering my sins. It was God and your sins. It was God's dramatic triumph. Because of this great day in history, Satan's power was defeated by the blood of the Lamb. That's the ground. That's the basis. That's the reason for our victory. There's nothing I can do on my own. I cannot overcome on my own strength. I need the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of the Lamb, His blood to cover your sins, you can overcome because He overcome. His blood is the basis of our peace. Our souls can be at peace with God when we accept Him. The debt we owe to God, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's paid in full. His blood is the solution for our sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Not anything we can do. His blood is the power to atone for every sin. His example to the cross is an example for us as patients. This is the inspiration of our love. Because he loved us so much, he died. A holy God cannot tolerate sin, so he sent Christ to die on our behalf. And there's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. If you and I ever get any victory, it's because he shed his blood for us. If any of us overcome, it's because of the blood of the Lamb. It's through the blood of the Lamb. His blood frees us from sin to serve God, to enjoy him forever, to glorify him. And that goes back to the context of the passage. Hey, Satan's accusing. Sin is brought up in your past. Its dominant circumstances are defeating you. How do we overcome all that? Through the blood of the Lamb. Every victory over Satan, every victory over his accusations to the ages, are all won because Christ shed his blood and gave his life for us on the cross. The greatest defeats of Satan was the crucifixion and then the resurrection. They guarantee victory for us now in the future day. Understand now, if you allow it, circumstances will overwhelm you. Past sins will cause guilt in you. Satan will accuse you before God. At the same time, Christ, our advocate, is interceding for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. So as you examine your own life this morning, what sins could Satan accuse you of today? Why aren't we condemned for our sins? The answer drips with grace. What a wonderful word, grace. All of our sins, past, present, future, have been paid in full by Jesus Christ. No accusation from Satan will ever stick to a believer in Christ, because God's grace and God's mercy has washed us clean from our transgressions. Understand then, the cross 2,000 years ago is just as relevant today as it was then. So many today look at it as an historical event, and it was, but there's power in that historical event. The reality of what Christ accomplished on that cross. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me. Hey, listen, if Christ is not calling the shots in your life, you don't overcome. But I hear this a lot. You don't understand my problem or my sin. My circumstance is so big, and I've been dealing with it for so long. Hey, listen, I may not understand it all. Others may not understand it all, but listen, we serve a Savior who does. On that cross, listen to this, on that cross, Jesus, on his back, he lifted the sins of the entire world for all men and women at all time at Calvary. So what's the size of your problem? Think about when we're looking at our problems, when we're looking at our everyday problems, think about the weight of the world that he bore on that cross. It's nothing compared to what he had to experience. You're dealing with somebody who's handled all the sin of the whole world and its accompanying circumstances, and we think he can't handle our burden and our problem. And I'm guilty of this just like anybody else. Sometimes you lay awake and you're overwhelmed with burdens and you're going, why am I overwhelmed with these burdens? Because I'm trying to control it. I'm trying to handle it by myself. But I overcame when I was saved through the blood of the Lamb, and the same blood that saved me can help me overcome every day. That's a thought right there. The reason why we're so defeated by that problem is we haven't nailed it to the cross and laid it there and left it there. Sure, the problem may not go away immediately, but the burden of it has. Because you've left it at the cross, and you're trusting the Lord to handle it, because you're trusting once again, you're going back to the cross. The same blood that covered your sins can allow you to overcome. So how do we overcome? Number one, by the power of his blood. Let's look at the second thing. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The second thing, by the word of their testimony. Number two, We overcome from the proclamation of our witness. The proclamation of our witness. The word of their testimony. Talking about the believers. Once we experience and we are reminded of that power of Calvary's cross, it produces in us a proclamation of witness and gives testimony about Him and what He can do. This in itself helps us to overcome. The word, logos, that's a speech, a statement. The word testimony there is martyrous. We get the word martyr from that. It's courtroom language. It's a testimony of somebody. It's a link between witness and proclamation. One who gives his or her life through witness and through testimony. These early Christians, the apostles, John included, who's writing this, saw the risen Lord and was a witness, an eyewitness account, and they gave testimony of that eyewitness account, and they gave their lives for it horribly. And we believe by faith. We may not have seen Him physically resurrected as of yet, but I believe He has resurrected. And because He resurrected, I will resurrect someday myself. So I believe that, and there's that link, and there's that witness, and then there's that testimony. You can't help it. Once you embrace the cross, once you allow the cross to be an everyday part of your life, you're remembering on it, you're reflecting, it naturally produces in you a witness of what Christ has done in your life, and you want to tell somebody else who you were before Christ and how Christ has saved you, and you can have the same joy, the same peace. Sure, the problems don't go away. We still live in this world, but we can have victory as we overcome it. This inspires us. This witnesses, it's a witness to somebody. There's a faithful testimony. Because think about this. Without a witness, the blood of Christ was shed in vain. Without the testimony, that testimony would have been impossible without the shedding of blood. Believers are victorious over Satan, not only through the blood of the Lamb, but the word of their testimony. They do not allow anything or anyone to stop them from proclaiming and speaking for Christ. With that said, you're not going to overcome everyday life if you're a secret agent Christian. What's a secret agent Christian? A secret agent Christian are those believers who've been saved, but they operate undercover. There's something that is strengthening in giving your testimony to somebody. Man, I tell you, the times I've been able to give my testimony to somebody, who I was before Christ, who I am after Christ, and how I've been growing in Christ, how it happened. Once you're giving your testimony to somebody, when the door opens, and there's something strengthening about that, because you are trusting in a power, not of yourself, you're trusting in the blood of the Lamb. And you're trusting in Him to get you through this life. And just the testimony of overcoming a problem, the testimony of overcoming maybe a negative in your life, it's an overcoming attitude. And you're using that to be a witness and a testimony to somebody. I think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember that sacrifice. God has placed everything in the hand of His Son, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We overcome by the power of His blood. We overcome from the proclamation of our witness. Number three, we overcome through the passion of our commitments. Notice the third thing in verse 11. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. There's another evidence of embracing the cross. When faced with death, they loved not their lives. Now, we may not be dying for our faith yet. But you know what? Sometimes, what was it, the phrase I heard somebody say one time? I love me some me. Many of us are casual Christians. We live in such a selfish society that sometimes the selfishness can filter in to the Christian life. We say we love him, but we back off when the rubber starts to meet the road because it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me a little commitment. It's going to cost me a little sacrifice on my part. We shy away. We try to take back our lives, basically. It's almost like we're saying, okay, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'll be a witness to you when I can, but when it comes asking me to serve or be committed or something like that, or when the rubber meets the road and everybody's ganged up against you and you got to be a witness, and when the opportunity presents itself, you kind of shy away. Hey, this verse here describes a love relationship they possess with Jesus that transcended dying. That is serious love, by the way, to love somebody that you would give your life for him. But you know, it's not unusual, because if you're a parent here, you will give your life for your kids. If you're a spouse, you'll give your life for your spouse. It's not unusual, serious love. It shows the deep commitment of our love for that person. But it says here they disregarded their lives. The natural inclination, the direction of the will. They desire to know him. I love Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. It's all about knowing him in a relationship. And as you're growing in that relationship, that passionate relationship, you're reminded of the cross. You speak about him, because when you're in a relationship with somebody, you won't talk about that person. And you, there's a passion there of commitments. And you know what? Satan may try, but he cannot win the conflict with believers. For their faith conquers the fear of death. They valued not their life in this world. We understand we are citizens of another country. We're passing through this world. To the extent suffering and even meeting death for the sake of giving their testimony. That goes back to what Jesus said, if deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him daily. It goes back to what Paul said, I die daily. Paul said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got to be dead to self and alive to God. What a beautiful picture baptism symbolizes there, when you're dead with Christ and you're rose with him. Dead to self, alive unto God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Galatians 2:20. Christ must define you. He has got to be your life. You want to pursue a relationship with him, fall in love with more than life itself. But you got it's serious stuff to overcome. This isn't casual Christianity here. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Paul said that in Philippians. He's saying, in effect, I don't know whether to stay here or go to be with Christ, but it's a no-lose deal because it's all about Christ. You know, he's basically saying, if I've got to be rejected and misunderstood and not liked because of Jesus Christ, then so be it. If that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to live for him. That's an overcoming attitude, because Christ overcame on the cross, and through his blood, I can overcome. That's an overcoming attitude. Triumphant, conquering believers. They do not love their lives more than they love God. His kingdom agenda for their lives triumphs and trumps and overrules and overcomes all things. This generates naturally a passion of commitment and evidence of our testimony because of the blood of the Lamb. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the proclamation of our witness, and through the passion of our commitment. Let's tie this together for our takeaway this morning, our application. Power, proclamation, and passion. Back to my two questions. Have you overcome, and are you overcoming? We see the cause and effect of an overcoming life in Christ. It's not personal strength, not what we have done, but what Christ has done on that cross. Because of this, there's victory. What he has done is reflected in what we say and what we do. So these three answers, check this out now. Verse 11. These three answers, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not love their lives, death. This is all wrapped together in one word, identification. Oh, here's the takeaway. Don't miss this. Overcomers find their identity in Jesus Christ. Hey, what defines you as a person this morning? Where do you find your identity? Where do you find your confidence? Many choose to find it in things, in possessions, in pleasures, in entertainments, in self, in fads, in money, in lust, in pleasures, anything they think will fill a God-sized void in their hearts, but they still find they are overcome by sin and circumstances. When you properly identify with Christ, then you can prevail. Hey, once you've identified with Christ, you have positioned yourself to be an overcomer. You have an overcoming attitude. He is to be your being. He has got to be your life. He has got to be your identity. So many Christians today, well, first of all, so many people haven't found their identity in Christ because they don't know Him as Savior. Secondly, those who do know Him as Savior still try to find their identity in self and the things of this world, and they get tossed about and need to come back to Him. And this all goes back, and I close with this, this all goes back to how you see Jesus Christ. This is interesting to me. In Revelation 2 and 3, John writes to seven churches and tells them they need to overcome. In chapter 1, before Jesus talks about being an overcomer, he begins with chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus appears to John. If you get a moment today or this week, read Revelation chapter 1. Jesus appears to John. He doesn't appear to him as a baby in a manger. He doesn't appear as a meek and mild, gentle on this earth, but he appears to him on fire. The overcoming Jesus. John saw the resurrected and ascended Jesus in control, in charge, and he falls down before him in worship. He rules and reigns. And I think sometimes one of the reasons we get so defeated and so confused as believers is that we really don't understand who Jesus is since he's resurrected and ascended. Because the Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 is in charge. He's controlling the agenda. And the reason why Satan's still defeating you, the reason we allow sin to overcome us and the negative circumstances control us, is we tend to forget and we think differently about Jesus. You're being defeated by deception that looks real, that feels real, and seems like it's real, but remember what Jesus did. He took that authority. Remember, he resurrected. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's in charge. Romans 8:37, we're more than conquerors through him. John 16:33, he overcomes the world. Hey, listen, if you're a defeated Christian this morning, your view of Jesus needs to be adjusted. Your attitude must be that of overcoming. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, as we looked at this morning, allows you to shift how you relate to Jesus. And so many people, they come to church to worship Jesus as they want him to be, not as he really is. Let me say that again. So many people come to church to worship him as they want him to be, not as he really is. You've got to get a glimpse of who he really is. Shift your focus on who he is, not how you want him to be. Hey, sin and circumstances are beating us, but you've got to see Christ on that cross. By relationship to him, you are an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's all in where your focus lies that determines your attitude and reaction. Hey, our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him. Have you overcome, and are you overcome? And let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes